Trusting in Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. It's a good lead-in to spending time in God's word together this evening, and especially thinking about this word from Habakkuk and similar situations we maybe face in our lives that are challenging for us, really often are beyond our comprehension, that call and that reminder we'll see again to trust in the Lord and to faithfully entrust ourselves to him. So let's turn once again to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, and then into chapter 2, a few verses as well. That begins on page 763, if you're looking at the Bibles you'd find in front of you, like the one I have up here. We began in Habakkuk last week together and saw there the prophet bringing before the Lord a complaint, one he'd seemingly been bringing for some time and waiting for the Lord's response, the complaint being, God, your people are not acting justly. We are not living the way we're supposed to be, and God, you need to act. Right? Justice is being frozen, paralyzed, as he said. And then we heard God's response to Habakkuk, to his prophet, to his people. And God says, I am responding, and wait and see. You're not going to believe what I'm going to do. And then God says he's going to raise up the Babylonians, this terrible nation that has no scruples at all about destroying those in front of them, that's going to come and bring justice to Israel. And so that's where we left off last week. And now Habakkuk is going to respond, and the Lord will respond again, and we'll consider at least part of the Lord's response today. So let's begin reading at verse 12, and then going on to chapter 2, verse 4. And as we do so, you can have this question now in mind, that no doubt Habakkuk is pondering. How can this event, you raising up the Babylonians, be helping your plan to unfold? God, you say you're going to bring justice to all things. You're going to make all things good. You're going to work it all in the end. How can this event be helping that plan to unfold? Maybe you've asked a similar question before in your life as certain events transpired. So let's enter into the word together. This is God's word in Habakkuk. Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, you will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You have made people like the fish in the sea, like the sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them up in his dragnet, and so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his dragnet, for by his net he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. Is he to keep on emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. And the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, as we come into this text, maybe you can imagine where Habakkuk is at. Maybe at times before in your life you've received some startling news, some news that was tough for you to grapple with. I think at one time or another, all of us deals with this in our lives in some way, shape, or form. Habakkuk's just heard this startling news that God is finally going to act about the injustice going on amongst his people in Judah, but he's doing so by raising up the ruthless Babylonians. How is Habakkuk going to respond? Really, what we see here is a gift to God's people. It gives us a template from which we can respond to any situation in our lives. What we see is Habakkuk's response as one of faithful protest. Faithful because you can see that Habakkuk is still in relationship to the Lord, trusting him. In fact, we hear him naming so many attributes about God and who he is and just about his character. And yet it's one where he's struggling to understand what God is doing. He's going back to that question, God, how can this be working out your plan? To use the Babylonians, of all people, to come against your people in Israel. So there is still this element of protest, of lament, we could say in another language too, that is going forth, but it's a language of faithful protest. And it led me to think for myself, and I want to raise it for you too, to think, how are we responding to events in our lives which surprise us or disappoint us? In some respect, this points us right back to God. Sometimes it's easy to complain or to not address God when situations like this come up. But this points us to a language we've been given as God's people to faithfully wrestle with God. Habakkuk is hearing here about the Babylonian army coming against Israel. It's not the news that we have received in our lives. But again, I know we've received this kind of news and probably have had to wrestle with God about it. A cancer diagnosis, a loved one who's passed away or is dealing with illness or sickness, losing a job, losing a friend, a relationship on the brink, whatever it might be. Right? We've had these events happen. We see them happen personally and on a larger scale. How do we respond? Do we turn to the Lord? Do we wrestle with Him? What does that look like? Again, in Habakkuk's response, we're given a template as God's people. And maybe the first thing to see is something that we're often prone toward that maybe isn't our best response. And that is a common human response to say, surely, God, I don't deserve this, whatever it might be. I'm not so bad that this should happen to me, should it? Kind of hear Habakkuk voicing that. Okay, God, I know things have been bad in Judah. I know I've even been complaining about them. But Babylon? They're so much worse. We don't deserve this, their justice, their cruelty, their sinful morality coming upon us. Humanly, we always want to make ourselves look better, to say to God, you know what? I'm a pretty good person. I don't think I deserve this. In the church and out of the church, we're prone to respond that way. Of course, God reminds us that the only thing we don't deserve is His grace. Everything else, in our sin, in our brokenness, in our rebellion, is our just deserts. And yet God does afford us His grace. As He was His people then, He does even more so to us now in Jesus Christ. He reminds us, yes, there's brokenness, there's sin in us. And we need to see that, and it needs to be dealt with. And here God is saying to His people, yes, I know about Babylon. And He's going to address that in the rest of chapter 2. But the sin of my people needs to be addressed as well. We don't have an excuse before the Lord. We're not just better than the other people, so we don't deserve this. So how do we respond when these kind of issues arise? How does Habakkuk go about this here? We can see some of his processing, handling some of life's issues. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a pastor back in the last century, a great preacher, did a lot of studies in Habakkuk and sermons in Habakkuk and had kind of four things he laid out that I think are pretty applicable and helpful as I think about my own life, and I hope they be to you as well. So this list of four comes largely from what he put together thinking about this passage in Habakkuk. How do we handle this, right? This issue happens. You get that diagnosis, that news, that event. How do we go about it? The first piece is to stop and think. Sometimes we want to respond and we say things right away, and it's usually not our wisest moment. We know that Habakkuk took time to stop and think because we have his words recorded here. And if you're honest as a human being, you know that those words in verse 12 probably aren't the first thing that came to his mind. He took some time to think and to ponder and respond to the Lord in a fitting way. In our lives, when we are encountered with difficult news, difficult issues, we need to stop and think as well, and think with the Lord about what is going on. Secondly, it's important just to review what we believe. Whoops, getting ahead of myself. To review what we believe as God's people. Principal beliefs. You can hear Habakkuk doing that all over this passage. He talks so much about who God is. My Holy One, right? The Sovereign One, the God who is eternal, that won't die, my rock, right? His purity, you can't look on evil and wrongdoing. All these things, Habakkuk is reviewing his basic beliefs about who God is. And it has this picture of just giving him a foundation to stand upon. It's so good for us too, I believe, to have that go-to, right? As we're going through tough things in his life and they would seek to unmoor us, to shake us, right, we have this unshakable foundation. We need to go back to what we know, what we believe about who God is, what He's done, right, His character. And as we do that, we try to apply those beliefs to these situations. Particularly, you can see Habakkuk doing that with this issue of Babylon. He understands right there in verse 12, okay, God, I can see that you've ordained Babylon to punish Israel, to bring justice about here. Right? He's applying what he believes. God, because you are the rock, you are the eternal one, you're going, I see what's happening, right? He sees a bigger picture. And he's able to apply that in this particular case to what's happening. How might you do that in your life? Thinking about who God is and the bigger picture of what he's doing. How might you apply what you believe, what we believe, to what's happening in our lives and in the world? Saying that, though, is also to say that there are some issues that we still just can't quite grasp. And even though Habakkuk gets what God is doing with Babylon, he still doesn't get why necessarily he would use Babylon to do this, how this could help toward the end that God has promised to bring about. And so sometimes we need to release these things to the Lord. Give the problems over to him, right? Let go, right? As much as we can humanly do that. Turn it over. We hear Habakkuk, right? As he goes through this whole kind of little metaphor about the evil ones kind of grasping up and catching people like fish in the sea and taking them in and worshiping their own wealth and power, worshiping their net that brings this about. And he asks the question, Lord, how long is this going to continue? I just don't get it. How long are you going to allow this? Verse 17. But then he says, and I'm going to stand and watch. I'm going to wait with you, Lord. I'm going to wait as long as it takes. I'm going to wait at the ramparts. I'm going to be looking. I'm going to be searching. But I'm going to give it over to you and see what you have to say to my complaint and to what's going on. And there's something good about that as well, because there are problems for me and probably for you that we just don't get. I can't see it, Lord. I can't see what you're bringing about. How can you be giving those to God? Saying, Lord, I'm not forgetting about this, but I turn it over to you. I'm going to wait for you. I'm going to trust in your timing. I'm going to keep expectantly waiting for you to respond. But how does God reply here? Again, the question is, God, is how's this bringing about your order? And the immediate question there, too, in verse 17 is, how long is this going to go on? And God responds there, starting in verse 2. And he really says, my order is coming. My plan is still going forward. But in my timing, Habakkuk, Dan, whoever's listening, my order is coming in my timing. But it is, he says, speeding toward its end. Write down the revelation. Make it plain on tablets. I love that. God says, I don't want just you to know. I want my people to know because they wrestle with these things too. Write it down that a herald might run with it and bring that news quickly. The revelation awaits in appointed time. It speaks of the end and it will not prove false. God's plan is not being thwarted. It's not going awry. It is going forward as God intends. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. That last picture and even the herald running gives us the picture of, if you ever run a decent distance before or a race, you know that often runners, that last stretch, are really stepping up an extra notch. Right? I'm going to run this last mile with everything I got. I'm going to strain for the finish line. You see those sprinters at the end of the Olympics leaning forward. Right, to break the plane, to break the finish line. It's the picture God gives here of how his order, his plan is unfolding. And though for us it might seem like a long time, God is saying it's running toward its end. We're in that last leg. As the New Testament says, the new age has come. Right, these are the last days. It's straining forward. So God gives that comforting answer, even though he doesn't maybe give the detail that Habakkuk or maybe I would want sometimes in situations. God says, this is what you need to know. My plan is going forward. There's not anybody else in control. And it's coming soon. I'm bringing it about. And then he turns to Habakkuk and he turns to all of us and says, now let's talk about how you need to live in the meantime. In the midst of all these things and injustice and suffering and brokenness. And he says something that is really one of the most powerful phrases and verses in all of Scripture there, Habakkuk 2, verse 4. God's reply is, so you need to live toward the kingdom, toward this good order I'm bringing right now. And that's summed up in those words, the righteous live by faith. You need to live trusting in me, believing in me, putting your faith in me. This is our calling for our life now. God first offers a contrast to really what this doesn't look like. He's referring back to Babylon at the beginning. He says, see, the enemy, and Babylon's in mind, is puffed up. They kind of puff themselves up, self-confidence. Their desires aren't upright. God reminds us that's not what the faithful life looks like. The faithful life's not lived in my confidence, in my power, but in dependence on God's power. It's so easy in our world, in our time, to be reliant on what we can do, what we can bring about, the goods that we have, the strength that we have, the military prowess. Babylon was, right? They're worshiping their own might and strength, their swiftness in battle. God says, that's not the way. The enemy's puffed up, but it's not right. Ways aren't upright. He says, here's the right way, the righteous way. Live by faith, by trusting me, by entrusting yourself to me. This passage is quoted multiple times in the New Testament. It's kind of amazing for a little book like this. It shows you how powerful of a word this is. Paul quotes it in Romans and Galatians. The authors of Hebrews quotes it there in chapter 10. And it really points again to what this passage is pointing to. That righteousness, rightness before God, true life as we are longing for it, only come through Christ, through God's gift to us, and through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Paul in Romans 1 is talking about the gospel. He's not ashamed to proclaim the gospel because of this truth. That is righteousness for everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For the righteous will live by faith. In Galatians 3, of course, Paul is talking about how nothing else can take the place of Christ. Not any works of the flesh or anything like that. Instead, the righteous live by faith. Hebrews 10 is right before that famous chapter, Hebrews 11, which is all about faith. And how we can live in faith like those in the past who went before us. And the reminder there again is this is how we live as God's people. This is how we live toward the kingdom now. Yes, there's all kinds of challenges. There's difficult news to process that we get personally and in the world. But God is there, and he is faithful, and he has opened the door to us to new life in Jesus Christ. So we live trusting him and looking to him and even wrestling with him as is necessary. The righteous live by faith. As we think about that in our own lives and think about maybe a particular situation that's coming to your mind, it gives us a hope that we look forward to. Certainly, eternal life comes through this faith, and that's even being pointed to in that Hebrews 10 passage. Right? We have this great hope that one day there's not going to be any more crying or mourning or injustice or threats of wars. We are praying about any of that. It's all going to be taken away. And we live in that hope. We put our trust in God's promise to bring that about. But we also have this for our lives now, right? A faith that makes us stand firm, even as these things are swirling around us. That reminder that we get many years ago in Psalm 46, even though the earth gives way and falls into the heart of the sea, right? There's this firmness that God's people have because of God and his presence and what he has done for us. As Paul reflects on some of his ministry, as he leads the people to think about the way they're living their lives, in the book of Philippians, he writes this there toward the end of that letter. I've learned the secret of being content in every and any situation, and he's been through a lot of situations. The answer is I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Again, not my own strength, not because I've learned so much in my wisdom, only through God the Father and his gift to us in Jesus Christ. And the presence of his Holy Spirit. We can do that. Now we can live this life by faith. So think about that question. Maybe it's a question you have right now. God, how can this, and you can fill in the blank in your life, how can this contribute to the unfolding of your plan? It's okay to wonder that. It's okay to wrestle with God about it, to wonder maybe what he's doing sometimes. But as we go forward, we live by faith and knowing, too, that the answer to all of these questions is being written in Jesus coming to us and what he's done in his death and resurrection. Because Jesus has already struck the death blow to all these injustices, all this brokenness, all the death and the crying and the mourning and the pain. He has struck that blow by going to the cross, taking them on himself and leaving them behind in the grave, and now ascended to the Father's right hand, clearly victorious over all of them. As we see in the New Testament, in Christ, all of God's promises are yes. And so we know, too, that as God says, the answer is coming in full. We long for the day when our Lord Jesus Christ will return, and at that time, everything will be answered. And everything will answer to God. And as he promised, he will make all things right. In the meantime, as God's children, we live by faith. We trust in him. We look to him. We wrestle with him. And we wait for his answer. We wait for his response. And we see how the Lord continues to lead his people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father God, you see us even more clearly than we see ourselves. You know, Father, maybe some of the questions we have this day that are looming over our lives. Maybe difficult news that we are trying to process. Things that we just don't understand. Lord, we are thankful that you give us space to wrestle with you about these things. Even with our limited understanding and sight, you invite us to come to you, to bring our complaints before you, to wrestle with you in faithful protest, but also to wait on you in faith. We thank you, Lord, that you promise us that you are bringing about your good order in this world, that you are renewing all things. We thank you, Lord, that we can see how in Jesus Christ this is speeding ever more quickly toward its end. But Lord, now help us to wait for you in faith, to worship you in faith, to note the ways that you are in work, or to trust the ways that we don't understand. Help us to do that together as your people, to encourage one another, to keep being grounded in what you've given to us in your word, through your church, who you are that will not change, what you've done that cannot be undone. And so, Lord, give us comfort. Give us peace. And give us hope as we live our lives following you. This is only possible because of you and the gift of Jesus to us. All of this we pray in his name. Amen.